We're chatting tonight with Jerome Corsi, his latest work, Who Really Killed Kennedy. So much more to cover, and we'll be right back with Jerry in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Jerome Corsi with us. Jerry, so let's assume for a moment that Oswald indeed was the patsy. Does the patsy mean he knew nothing about what was going on, or was he part of it?
Excellent question, George. I think the reality was that Lee Harvey Oswald thought he was an agent working for the FBI and the CIA. His mother always maintained until she died that he was an agent. In fact, she said he ought to be buried in Arlington Cemetery. He was a hero. And I think Oswald, trained as an agent, did what he was told. If he was told to go to the lunchroom and sit in the lunchroom,
he would.
He would have done it. That's what he would have done. He was told to go out and protest in New Orleans, hand out Fair Play for Cuba brochures. He would have done it. Oswald was not questioning his orders, and I think the most surprised person in the world to find out that he was the patsy was Lee Harvey Oswald when he realized things were not going as he had been told they would go, and he was being hunted down after the assassination. This whole plot, the coup d'etat by the CIA in conjunction with the mob, in which there was a patsy, was developed in 1954 and 57 in Guatemala. It was a coup that we did on behalf of the United Fruit Company, which was a banana company exporting bananas to the United States. They hired public relations expert Edward Bernays. I knew Bernays personally. My father had hired Bernays for the labor union. I had many dinners with Bernays in his Cambridge home. We talked about Guatemala. We talked about the JFK assassination at length. The guy who planned the Guatemala hit was E. Howard Hunt, who later shows up in the Bay of Pigs, who shows up in Watergate,
yeah.
Whose deathbed confession, which you broadcast for the first time on Coast to Coast.
Yep.
It was one of the remarkable achievements of Coast to Coast. You broadcast St. John Hunt's tape confession of E. Howard Hunt saying he was a bench warmer in the Kennedy assassination. It's the first time he'd ever said that. And the patsy was someone in Guatemala, was a palace guard who they said shot the president. And then, of course, they said the palace guard shot himself, so he was dead and could not be questioned. The part of the deal of a patsy was a setup guy, a fall guy, who was then eliminated, killed, before he could talk or before there was a trial. And then the patsy was blamed for the murder, Lee Harvey Oswald in this case. And as I show in the two other assassination attempts, and researchers Waldron and Tom Hartman, had done excellent work in starting with their book, Ultimate Sacrifice, showing that in the Chicago assassination, a guy named Valle, V-A-L-L-E-E, or Valle, was set up as the patsy, armed to the teeth, working in a building high up over the supposed route of the motorcade in Chicago. The motorcade was canceled, but he was the patsy. There's another patsy, was a Cuban in the Tampa a planned assassination for mid-November, and Lee Harvey Oswald was the patsy plan for Dallas.
So it's a standard operating procedure whenever they did these heinous things. They always had a patsy as the setup person.
Correct. And the pattern was one that Alan Dulles helped to develop. 1953, he was head of the CIA, working with President Eisenhower, and this patsy coup d'etat format to kill a head of state, Alan Dulles decided he would use in the United States and apply it to Jack Kennedy.
He hated him that much, huh?
He hated him that much, yes. After having fired Alan Dulles, remember, Alan Dulles, the Dulles family, Dulles Airport in D.C. is named after the Dulles family. There's a family where one brother was Secretary of State under President Eisenhower. The other brother, Alan Dulles, was the head of the CIA. This family was a prestigious American family with deep roots in American history.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happened that before World War II, the Dulles family were lawyers and investment bankers working with the W. Averill Harriman's investment banking firm, the Harriman Brothers, and they were financing Hitler. And also, as I point out in the book, working in that same firm were the two patriarchs of the George Bush family, Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker, were both members of that firm, both working to finance Hitler. And Alan Dulles worked during World War II. He was in Bern, Switzerland, working with the OSS. Starting in 1943, Alan Dulles helped the Nazis, Bormann, the number two under Hitler, get the money out of Germany into the United States stock market and into Argentina.
Wasn't Dulles also on the Warren Commission?
Yes, and Alan Dulles, fired by Jack Kennedy after the Bay of Pigs, ends up as one of the commissioners on the Warren Commission. So one of the chief planners is now in a position to be the chief cover-up artist.
Unbelievable.
Right.
No, maybe it is believable, Jerry.
It is believable. And when you study the internal documents of the Warren Commission, which have been published, you find things like the chief counsel, Lee Rankin, holding a panic meeting in which he's telling the Warren commissioners that they've just discovered that Lee Harvey Oswald is on the payroll of the FBI at the time of the assassination. There was a CIA file on him, and Rankin recommends the commissioners decide to suppress the information and lie to the American people, because the final Warren report said that Lee Harvey Oswald had no connection with the CIA or with the FBI, which was an obvious and complete lie. Once we see the internal workings, the commission knew it was a lie, and they told us anyway.
So he's one of the big players. Let's talk about Lyndon Johnson for a moment.
Yes.
What was his role?
Well, Lyndon Johnson was, I argue in the book, was totally aware, you know, like, who really killed Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson's on the list. The Kennedy brothers, Jack Kennedy was determined to dump Lyndon Johnson from the 1964 ticket, and Johnson knew it. Johnson was involved in what was the Bobby Baker scandal. Bobby Baker was one of Johnson's early, he was a page when Johnson was in the Senate. He became one of Johnson's right-hand men. Bobby Baker, of course, also then established a call girl ring called the Quorum Club that was servicing the members of Congress, and he got involved in shady business deals. He had a vending company that tied back to Sam Giancana, the organized criminal in Chicago who made the vending machines, crooked deals in which Bobby Baker and Lyndon Johnson made millions. The Kennedy family had this information and gave it to Life magazine, gave it to the same editor at Life, a guy named Lambert, who, going back to the Elkins family, the Collin Committee hearings, the crime family in Portland, Oregon, Lambert was one of two reporters on the Oregonian in Portland, Oregon, who won a Pulitzer Prize exposing this corruption with the Elkins mob and the Teamsters being moved into by the Eastern mobs. Lambert was one of the top editors at Life magazine. And the week after, November 22nd, when Jack Kennedy was killed, Life was scheduled to do the second expose on Bobby Baker, exposing all this about Lyndon Johnson, and it would have ended Lyndon Johnson's career. Lyndon Johnson knew it, and if Kennedy was not killed before that magazine was published, Lyndon Johnson was not going to be vice president, which was part of the desperation. Three attempts to kill Kennedy, three separate plots in November 1963. The one in Chicago failed, the one in Tampa failed, the one in Dallas succeeded. Lyndon Johnson knew of them, gave the green light, and was the major beneficiary. And, George, I think it's the reason Lyndon Johnson wanted to be sworn in by as president before Air Force One left Dallas. He didn't want to be in the air and have the evidence turn against him.
That's true. And did he tell his secretary that you're not going to have to worry about the Kennedy brothers anymore, something like that?
Just before the Dallas trip, Jack Kennedy told Evelyn Lincoln, who was his secretary, that he was going to remove Lyndon Johnson from the ticket because of this corruption. It was, you know, Bobby Baker scandal, another scandal, the Billy Sylvester scandal. Lyndon Johnson was heaped in scandal. And Lyndon Johnson had served his usefulness. Bobby Kennedy hated Lyndon Johnson. And Lyndon Johnson was corrupt. The books have been written at great length, and I refer to them, that, you know, Johnson was a dirty politician who was involved with the mob and business interests in Texas, had killed people to advance his career. A very sordid story, not the nice biography you tend to get from people who are trying to elevate Johnson's character. There's a deep underside to Johnson that's always been known in Texas, and the Bobby Baker scandal would have ended Lyndon Johnson's career, and Bobby Kennedy was leaking the information to the editor Lambert at Life, who was happily publishing it, assisting the Kennedy family, as Lambert had done going back to the McCollin Committee hearings. These people all knew each other very well, and the reporters were working hand-in-hand at that time with the Kennedy family, and Johnson was, his career was on the line.
Let's talk about all the possibilities, Jerry, on who wanted Kennedy out. Dulles wanted him out, right?
Yes.
The mob wanted him out.
Yes.
Hoffa wanted him out.
Yes.
Johnson about every facet.
Even Richard Nixon wanted him out. CIA wanted him out. Nixon was in Dallas the day Kennedy died, and Nixon lied about it. Like, Nixon stayed in Dallas until Kennedy was dead, and within a day or two, Nixon was holding a planning session with his top advisors in his New York office, planning his next political move now that Jack Kennedy was dead. Jack Kennedy made very powerful enemies of very powerful men who determined that they were going to do him in. The mob, the story which I tell in the book has never really been told before. When the Kennedys worked with the Elkins mob, it was the Western mob. They were Protestant. And the Teamsters were being moved into by Hoffa, who was the Eastern mob, affiliated with the Italians and the Jews, who ran the Chicago mob and the mob in Florida and down in Havana. Meyer Lansky, Sam Giancana, Carlos Marcello, in New Orleans.
And Hoffa's Teamster pension fund built Vegas.
Precisely. And Joe Kennedy had never been part of the Eastern mob. He was Irish, and they excluded him. And Kennedy had a revenge motive. Joe Kennedy, the father, who was happy for the sons to side with the Elkins mob in the West and go after the Catholics and Jews. And Bobby Kennedy, as attorney general, was happy to do that. And here the mob, including Sam Giancana, that had helped Jack Kennedy steal the votes he needed in Chicago to beat Richard Nixon in 1960, felt the mob had turned on him. It felt the government had turned on him. The Kennedy family had turned on him, which they had.
They did, yeah.
Because they were prosecuting mobsters left and right. And the mob had had enough of it. And the CIA, which had been working with the mob in these various plots, back into the Eisenhower administration, and by the way, Bobby Kennedy had been working with the mob and the CIA to assassinate Castro at the same time. And Castro had plenty of motives to want to see Jack Kennedy killed.
And he's still alive, as it was mentioned.
And he's still alive. But the CIA motive from Alan Dulles, you know, realizing that Jack Kennedy was going to go against the agenda. Jack Kennedy would not use the U.S. military in Cuba, in the Bay of Pigs, or in Laos. Jack Kennedy, remember, pulled out. We were worried about the Pathet Lao, who were communist. And Jack Kennedy would not accept this domino theory. He realized that the Laotian people weren't fighting for their own freedom. This was a CIA-engineered war. He wouldn't fight it, would not. Jack Kennedy was pulling out of Vietnam for the same reason, and he lost control of the CIA over this. When Diem was killed, Diem was the president of Vietnam. He was killed in November 63. We had created Diem. The CIA had created Diem, but it turned on Diem. Jack Kennedy gave orders for Diem not to be assassinated.
He was shocked that he was killed, wasn't he?
Yes, the CIA assassinated Diem. And when Jack Kennedy got the word of that, he turned ashen and left the room because he realized at that moment it had been told that the CIA would kill Diem. They were killing Jack Kennedy next. Jack Kennedy knew that. Meant the CIA had gone totally rogue and were not following his instructions.
Are they still rogue, Jerry?
Yes, they're still rogue. They've never been on the reservation. CIA works with U.S. and international business interests. So, you know, let's invade 1961, the Gulf. Why? Because they, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. I mean, why do we care? We care because Kuwait is oil. That's and right. The Saudis did not want Saddam Hussein taking over Kuwaiti oil. So the Saudis demanded an invasion. And George H.W. Bush, whose connections go back to the CIA, I point out in the book, was most likely in Dallas working with the CIA the day Kennedy was killed. We're happy to go to war against Iraq, 1991, telling the American people it was for freedom. George H.W. Bush gave his New World Order speech, and the New World Order, when you reduce it all, was to protect the Saudi oil interests and our commercial interests in the Saudi high price of oil. And that's been repeated as a pattern.
Gosh,
a pattern Jack Kennedy would not go along with.
Now, let's talk about some of the mob influence here as well and kind of circle this picture, Jerry.
Right.
Tell me about Santo Traficante from Florida.
Well, Traficante was a major operator operating out of Tampa, and Traficante was also associated with Meyer Lansky. The two of them had wanted to open Cuba going back into the 50s as a main casino and resort location. It was going to be the East Coast alternative to Reno and Las Vegas on the West Coast. And, of course, when Castro came in, that was ended. We lost the casinos. And again, that was one of the main reasons the CIA wanted to go back and invade Cuba and get rid of Castro. Traficante was a major planner working with Carlos Marcello in New Orleans. And Marcello, Bobby Kennedy had actually deported it, had Marcello picked up and flown to a Central American country and dropped off in the jungle. Well, Marcello walked out, got back to New Orleans and swore he would kill Bobby Kennedy. And Santo and Sam Giancana in Chicago, who again the Kennedy family had turned on the old Capone mob, and Johnny Rosselli was part of that. Johnny Rosselli was probably the mobster who operationally planned the assassination. And he was part of the Giancana mobs. And Rosselli actually knew the Kennedy family very well. Going back into Jack Kennedy's early career, Jack Kennedy had this tendency to marry women. Before Jackie, he'd go off and get married to some woman. And he did it three or four times. And
Kennedy did?
Yes, Jack Kennedy did. It was little known.
They hushed that up, didn't they?
Yes, well, Johnny Rosselli, for Joseph Kennedy, went and got annulled one of these bizarre Jack Kennedy marriages and hid it.
Huh.
Yet Rosselli turned against Kennedy when Sam Giancana turned against Kennedy and did the operational planning to put the shooters in Dallas.
I think had Kennedy decided to try to get rid of Castro so the mob could get their casinos back, I think that would have appeased them, don't you think?
All Kennedy had to do was go along with the New World Order, be a team player. Oh, you want to invade Cuba? Great, let's invade Cuba. Send the Navy in. That's easy decision.
I mean, they had taken over Iran, right? They got rid of Mossadegh. Let's talk about that too, Jerry. Much more to talk about. Dr. Jerry Corsi with us as we talk about, of course, who really killed Kennedy. The summer winds, they'll be gone soon. Autumn begins in just a few more days. Here we go again. Hey, we're going to take your phone calls next hour with Jerry Corsi as we talk about his work, Who Really Killed Kennedy. I'll be back to chat more with him when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Back with Jerry Corsi. And, of course, Jerry, the CIA backed the Shah of Iran when they got Mossadegh out of Iran to protect the British oil interests. They've been behind just about everything, haven't they?
Well, yes, George, the CIA has been very active. That was another coup d'etat. Mossadegh in 1953, the CIA engineered and lied about. It's lied about it until very recently. The CIA, as I point out, in Guatemala, going back to 54, 1957, had developed this coup d'etat with an assassination and a patsy, a fall guy, who was blamed with the murder of the head of state and then killed himself, so there was no trial and no investigation. And E. Howard Hunt engineered Guatemala for the CIA. E. Howard Hunt engineered, used the Guatemala plan to stage a mock invasion that in the Bay of Pigs. That was E. Howard Hunt. E. Howard Hunt showed up in Watergate, forging memos, trying to blame the DM assassination on Kennedy. And, of course, the deathbed confession of E. Howard Hunt, where he broadcast for the first time on Coast to Coast AM. You broadcast that, George. You found that.
Yes, we did.
With St. John Hunt and brought that forward, where E. Howard Hunt finally, after denying it all his life, not admitting he was in Dallas the day of the assassination, finally admitted in the deathbed confession that he had played a role. He said he was only a bench warmer. I believe he was in Dallas and helped finance and organize the shooters. And there's excellent evidence that E. Howard Hunt was attributing a responsibility for the CIA being involved in planning the assassination. And he named several people, including Cord Meyer, whose wife, by the way, Jack Kennedy was having an affair with. It broke up Cord Meyer's marriage.
While he was president?
Yes, while he was president.
Jeez.
Cord Meyer was a World War II hero. He was injured in the island warfare against the Japanese. He lost part of his eyesight. His brother was killed. He was recruited into the CIA shortly after World War II, was very close to Allen Dulles, and Jack Kennedy had a relationship with his wife back to when they were both in college, and they resumed the relationship when Jack Kennedy was president, and they had an affair, and it broke up Cord Meyer's marriage, and I'm sure Cord Meyer said at the end that his wife was also killed later, under strange circumstances. And Cord Meyer always claimed that the same people who killed Jack Kennedy killed his wife. And Cord Meyer was very bitter towards the end of his life. But E. Howard Hunt said Cord Meyer was one of the planners of the Jack Kennedy assassination, and he may have been.
Jerry, the one thing that confuses me about this entire episode with Oswald, for example, was the fact that he killed a police officer, I would assume.
And again, that's an incident that I show in the book. It's unlikely that Oswald was the murderer there. The tip-off was that at the scene of the Tippit murder, the officer was named J.D. Tippit.
He was in a theater, wasn't he?
Well, no, this was in the Oak Cliff part of Dallas. J.D. Tippit was patrolling where he shouldn't have been and was likely part of the conspiracy. J.D. Tippit having marital problems, he was having financial problems, he was part of the Jack Ruby mob set with the police. And at the scene of the Tippit murder, a wallet containing all this ID for Lee Harvey Oswald and his alias as Haddell, Alex Haddell, was dropped on the scene. Now, murderers don't typically drop their wallets on the scene. And in fact, they're turned up three wallets for Oswald at various points in the investigation, three different wallets, all of which had like a virtual dossier on Oswald, linking him to this name, Haddell, which was the name used by the mail order Mannlicher-Kirkconnell rifle and linked the Harvey Oswald to the assassination. It was part of the setup. And I think the Tippit murder was part of the setup, too. I think Tippit, as his job originally, he was one of the people assigned to kill Lee Harvey Oswald before Oswald was apprehended. Oswald began to realize that they were searching for him, although he didn't realize it immediately. Tippit did not kill Oswald. I think as a result, Tippit was killed because Tippit knew too much, and the killer dropped the wallet on the scene, this Lee Harvey Oswald wallet.
It's like the passport of one of the hijackers.
Yeah, this is a plant. This was clearly a plant. It was a plant to implicate Lee Harvey Oswald with Tippit's murder and to make it look like Lee Harvey Oswald on the run had killed this police officer, which there's no indication he had. None of the ballistics were done to confirm that it was Oswald's weapon that killed Tippit. The circumstances of the witnesses, no one identified Oswald as such. And the wallet being left on the scene for me is the tip-off, that the Tippit murder was not done by Lee Harvey Oswald, but was done to set Lee Harvey Oswald up.
So let's go back just a bit. Kennedy's killed, and he's already fired Alan Dulles. And then Johnson, who gets appointed president, sworn in, then brings Dulles on the Warren Commission to investigate the president that fired him.
Correct. And Alan Dulles plays the major role of the cover-up artist to make sure that the Warren Commission has no evidence in it that links Lee Harvey Oswald to the CIA or the FBI. Even though Lee Harvey Oswald is on the payroll of the FBI, and the Warren Commission chief counsel knows this, there's a memo in which it's clear, and this information is presented to the commissioners who decide to suppress it, and there's a CIA file which had been collected on Lee Harvey Oswald since 1957 as a fake defector, as a double agent who defected to Russia in order to trick the Russians and get close to the KGB. And this information was all suppressed, and the key person playing the suppression role was Alan Dulles as a commissioner on the Warren Commission. It's like putting the criminal in charge of the hens after some hens have been eaten. Now is the fox who ate the hens is in charge of finding the criminal that ate the hens. Well, you're not going to find the criminal when the chief criminal becomes the cop looking for the culprit.
When this seemed to be, this is kind of bizarre, Jerry, but back years ago when this all happened, and I'm a kid, the name Dulles had come up, and as a kid, I said, I think he was involved in it. I don't know how I said that or why I said that, but I just did.
Well, that's very interesting because Alan Dulles, the Dulles family, was one of the most respected families in America at that time. His brother, under Eisenhower, had been Secretary of State. But see, again, the hidden stories, which are now coming out and have been researched, that the Dulles family was involved with the family of the Bush family, the patriarchs of the Bush family, in financing Hitler. I mean, the Bush family and the Dulles family were running Union Bank, which was a Nazi bank in the United States that was closed in the first days of the war by Franklin Roosevelt. And there's clear documentation of that, even in the New York Times at the time. It's on the public record. There have been hearings into Dulles' role, bringing the Nazis to the United States. We probably brought between 10,000 and 20,000 scientists. Werner Braun, who was the chief of our space program, putting man on the moon, also was responsible for the V-2 rocket and the Nazis, and he used Jewish slave labor on the concentration camps to build the V-2 rockets. We brought von Braun over with his Nazi rocket scientists to head our space program.
Sure. Of course, if we didn't bring him, we probably wouldn't have beaten the Russians.
Well, and we hired the Nazi intelligence group from the Gestapo, the Galen organization that had investigated the Nazis, investigated the Soviets for the Nazis. They were Gestapo, and they formed one of the pillars of the CIA that Alan Dulles helped create out of the OSS during World War II. We, in a sense, became the Nazis in many ways after World War II. And the Nazis, remember, the Nazis were socialists. They had the idea of a state partnership with business, even creating wars for the business interests, and a great welfare state to handle those who wouldn't benefit. And the model's not too different from what we've become.
Just an amazing story. So Let's do a little debrief here, Jerry. We're going to take questions with you next hour. So all these special interests were out to get Kennedy, probably more so than any president that we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And so they all wanted him. And again, it was to stop the New World Order, which is rolling along now at a record pace, isn't it?
At high speed and lying its way into wars as it had. Kennedy wanted to block the agenda. Kennedy said in Vietnam and Laos, no, I'm not going to fight a CIA war where the Vietnamese people don't want to win their own. They're not going to win their own freedom. They want us to come in with the U.S. military and win the freedom for them. We're not going to do that. We'll provide military aid.
Well, the bottom line is Ho Chi Minh came to us first and wanted to help and assistance before he turned to the Chinese and the Russians.
That's correct. And the whole story of Vietnam is a politically woven story, a lie told by the CIA. I've got CIA documents. I discuss them in the book. In 1965, when Indonesia fell, the communists were all killed in a CIA-engineered takeover. Suharto took over Sukarno. It was an internal coup. The CIA says, we're not worried about the domino theory anymore in Vietnam because if the Indonesian Communist Party fell, the Vietnamese Communist Party is insignificant. Well, the CIA still proposed the theory through Lyndon Johnson that we had to go into Vietnam in order to prevent the spread of communism in Southeast Asia. The CIA knew it was a lie. These were Southeast Asian countries which hated China, wanted their own form of socialism, wanted their own form of freedom. And Jack Kennedy knew he was being railroaded into a lie. And the purpose of going into Vietnam was a guy named Lansdale in the CIA wanted to develop a new type of army, different from World War II, where we could fight asymmetric war. You know, the 101st was not just going to be a paratrooper age group anymore. It was going to fight in helicopters. The mobile army we now have was Lansdale's vision. And there's an enormous amount of money to be made. Prior to Vietnam, if we had a helicopter, 8 or 9 companies could make that helicopter. After Vietnam, Bell made the helicopters, and it was the same with every munition system. Companies made billions of dollars on the fact that U.S. companies, that we went to war in Vietnam, and the economic motives were a clear reason why the military wanted to fight the war, lying to the American people that this false flag, the Tonkin Gulf incident, that Lyndon Johnson said we were attacked by the Vietnam fishing boats, was all a lie. The destroyer in that incident, the Maddox, was an intelligence boat operating to gain information for the CIA in the Tonkin Gulf, and the incident never happened. It was all a CIA false flag to force the American people into an emotional reaction to go to war in Vietnam.
Do you think... Go ahead, Jerry.
It's what Jack Kennedy would not do.
Do you think the same people who killed Kennedy years later went after Robert Kennedy?
Yes, I have no doubt about it. Robert Kennedy knew who killed his brother, knew Alan Dulles was part of it. He knew the names. I named some of the names in the book, even of the shooters. The Robert Kennedy, if he had been president, he would have destroyed the CIA. That would have been number one, just as his brother wanted to do. And he would have exposed the CIA for all of its lies, and Robert Kennedy would have pulled out of Vietnam immediately because he was opposed to the lie of Vietnam, and that's what he was campaigning on when he was killed. CIA could not tolerate Robert Kennedy. In fact, the Elkin family, who had warned Jack Kennedy he was going to be killed, visited Bobby Kennedy in Portland before the California primary and told him he was going to be killed in Los Angeles, and he should get rid of his bodyguards because he was warned he'd be shot from the back and his bodyguards would actually be doing the killing when, again, a Manchurian candidate, Sirhan Sirhan, began the firing in the pantry of the Ambassador Hotel.
Just amazing stuff, Jerry. And when you did the research for the book, when you put it all together, was there anything there that shocked or surprised you the most?
It's all shocked me. I mean, I go back as a kid to being involved with this, to the 57, 58, the McClellan Committee hearings. I've known many of the people involved, including the Elkins family, knew many of the people from the CIA involved. I've done extensive research for years in the National Archives. The shocking part of the Kennedy assassination is that it was a coup d'etat, and it was a CIA takeover and lie, and the CIA has continued to dominate our politics, has morphed into the National Security Agency, and we've become what the Nazis dreamed about, a totalitarian state masking as a democracy with an intelligence agency fighting wars for the business interests and lying to the people.
Jerry, we've never been the same since, have we?
We have not. And, you know, in a sense, I think an argument can be made that the Dulles family, those who financed Hitler, never quit. That even with Germany emerging as head of the EU, Germany dominating Europe was part of the Nazi dream. It was all achieved without a war. It was achieved through these coup d'etats. And killing Jack Kennedy was the last obstacle. Jack Kennedy believed in the Founding Fathers. He believed in freedom. If you listen to his first inaugural, he said, "We'll fight anywhere for freedom." But he said very carefully, "If you want to fight for your freedom, we will be there." He did not promise to go fight for freedom for others who didn't fight for their own freedom.
This push now for this one world order, this
yes.
new world government and everything
yes.
that they want to do, why do they want to do it? I mean, what's the benefit here for them?
The benefit is money, George. It's money. It's the control of natural resources. It's getting labor at the cheapest possible price wherever it can be found on the planet. International corporations that transcend borders. Intelligence agencies that cooperate behind the scenes. Wars that are fought for oil and represented as if they were fought for democracy. You know, the Gulf War fought for Kuwait. What's Kuwait? Well, Kuwait's very important to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia wants to control the price of oil, and Saudi Arabia certainly doesn't want a pipeline built in the United States to bring oil from Canada. And by the way, Saudis are very opposed to Assad in Syria because he's supporting Iran. Iran are Shiites. The Saudis are Sunnis, their arch enemies, and the Saudis would be happy if they could find a reason. Oh, this chemical attack that the UN cannot attribute, you know, we publish in WND, was the rebels clearly have used the weapons. The rebels are Al-Qaeda. What are we doing supporting Al-Qaeda?
Well, just
Saudi
tonight.
Arabia wants to get rid of Assad.
Just tonight, President Obama has skirted a provision which will allow us now to supply weapons legally to these terrorist groups that are trying to fight Assad.
I saw that. And what the American people need to know is these terrorist groups that fighting Assad are not freedom fighters. They're bad guys. They
Who
are
will one day they'll turn on us with the weapons we gave them.
As they did in Libya and killed the ambassador. The only country in the Middle East now that needs to be watched is the military in Egypt, which has finally imprisoned the Muslim Brotherhood and has declared that they will expose the Obama administration's support of the Muslim Brotherhood against democracy on behalf of the Saudis. And that's about to start happening in the trials of the Muslim Brotherhood about to get going in Egypt.
All right, Jerry, you stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and we will take phone calls with you. Fascinating subject tonight. Who really killed Kennedy?